Rob?
He nodded to us. Coop, Young? He paused, lowered his voice. Glass? I've got a deal to discuss with Glass, Bobster. I was just getting around to it. Simon wadded up his sandwich wrapper. He dragged on the last of his milk through the straw and pushed it in the bag. I have to go now, he said. Computer lab. Sure. Talk to you later, Glass. Simon brushed his nose with the back of his wrist. I guess, he stammered. He waited a half minute, looking anxious. Why not? Most eyes in the lunchroom were locked on him. Sure, Rob, he said louder. We'll talk later. He crunched his lunch bag into a compact wad, dropped it squarely in the garbage, and pushed the swinging door. I saw him smooth his hair as the door swung back. Chapter 3. It's been 5 years since that night in the gym. What you don't understand is that he helped me. Maybe what he and the others did changed my plans for the future, but he's paid for that in more than one way. The future I have now is a good one, and I wouldn't have it without him. So, sure, I'm going to help him now. It's what a decent person does. Jeff Cooper. After school, the four of us worked out in the weight room. I spotted Coop lifting a barbell that weighed approximately the same as a 57 Buick. Rob glided on the rowing machine, and Bobster curled free weights in front of the mirror. Coop spoke as he lifted. What's this deal you're making with Glass? Rob eased his legs out. We turn Simon Glass into Prince Charming. He swiped his dripping forehead with a towel, then tossed it at Bobster. Bobster kicked the towel, eyes fixed on the mirror. Cut it out, a loose count. Bobster put one weight against his hip, turned slightly sideways, and raised one weight in an overhand grip, tightening his biceps into a muscle man pose. This is primo male flesh. Can a fold-out and playgirl be far behind? I hear when they put the staple in your dick, it hurts like hell, I said. Bobster dropped the dumbbell and shot me the bone. I helped Coop cradle the barbell, and he sat up. No way, man, they don't do that. Picking up the towel, Bobster wrapped it around Coop's face. He sat on a bench opposite Rob. What is this crap about Glass anyway? No offense, man, but... He paused, searching for words. The guy's a full goose magoo. A full goose magoo? It had to be bad. When Bob couldn't think of a phrase, he made them up. I kept a list. The Book of Bob. Coop and I flopped on the slant boards and started sit-ups. Rob moved to the butterfly machine. He sat, adjusted the tension, hooked his forearms behind the pads, pulled them together, and released. That's the point. Making Glass popular is a true challenge. He pressed the pads together and released. And I loves a challenge. He looked like a kid with a Christmas present. Might be fun, Bobster said. Like that pig story we read in English. Rob looked to me to translate. He means Pygmalion, I said. Come on, Coop, let's hit the showers. If you want help with that research paper. Coop stood and slung his towel around his neck. It would be cool to help Glass. I feel sorry for him. Coop's three mutts bolted from under the sagging front porch and hit the cracked and oil-stained driveway, wiggling and wagging, overjoyed that their master was home. I was explaining the difference between footnotes and endnotes as we banged through the screen door of his kitchen and dumped our books on the littered table. One glance said it all. A long time since a woman had lived here. Coop, a slurred, raspy voice bellowed. Coop grimaced. Caveman is home. He moved to the doorway between the kitchen and den.
Yeah? What is it, Dad?
Get your lazy butt in here. Coop trudged into the small, dark room. I saw the muscles in his jaw bunch. Coop's dad sprawled in a recliner. His enormous bulk sagged over the sides. He wore old paint-stained khakis and a dirty, ribbed undershirt. A roll of fat escaped from between the bottom of the undershirt and the top of the pants. The pants were unbuttoned to accommodate his bulging waist. The recliner tilted back and the fat on his arms drooped on the vinyl when he lifted his arm to guzzle his beer.
Find the remote. I want to watch The Simpsons.
He crumpled the aluminum can and dropped it. It joined the pile by his chair.
Another dead soldier, he grunted. Go get me a live one.
Coop fetched the beer and the remote.
What's Young doing here?
The tension in Coop's jaw extended and quartered his neck. I shot Coop a don't worry about it look.
I'm helping Coop with his research paper, Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Cooper snorted. He wiped his lips with the back of a meaty hand.
A lot of good that'll do him. All he'll ever do is win trophies for letting people run into him.
He gestured to a covey of gold statuettes on the television.
I won trophies, too. Fullback, all district. Not good enough for a scholarship.
Ended up pumping gas for a living.
He will, too. Just like his old man. Big and stupid.
His words droned down. His eyes blinked, then closed, then blinked again.
Get out of here.
Coop was gone. I looked in the kitchen but found him in his room, shuffling his note cards. A framed photograph stood on a nightstand. The woman had dark red hair, a snub nose, big, round, dark eyes, and a mischievous grin. Coop looked just like her, right down to a slightly crooked front tooth that made him resemble a happy, overgrown first grader. Coop's eyes, though, didn't glint with her quirky intelligence. Coop's mom was the bouncy cheerleader who married the high school gridiron star. He went to seed, and she took off. Smart enough to vamoose, she was cold enough to leave Coop. He and his dad were too much alike.
He's full of it, Coop. You'll get a scholarship. You've been scouted by every university around.
If I don't pass English, I won't get shit.
And a torn tendon, a broken bone, anything, and I'll be digging ditches for the county or...
He swallowed and muttered, pumping gas. He buried his face in the black and white ruff of the dog that had crept onto the bed. English is my thing. I can write this paper standing on my head and farting Dixie. Listen to Young the Magnificent and don't break your leg. If you do, we'll shoot you like a horse. I punched Coop's shoulder, trying to cheer him.
Might as well, he said. Dead's better than pumping gas.
I saw the fear in his face.
You aren't him, Coop.
He forced a grin.
Right. And you aren't John Keats either, but you have to do a critical analysis of his poems, wuss.
With lock and load. My words bounced off the grimy sheetrock walls and echoed down the hollow hall. Chapter 4. I didn't talk about it then. I don't talk about it now. What's 5 years? I won't be talking about it in 25 years. What happens to Young now happens. I'm not involved. Bob DeMarco. Coop, Bobster, and I met Rob in the Commons the next morning. Doors on the west side were open, and the nutritionally obsessed got orange juice, granola, and fruit. Most of us stocked up on cinnamon rolls, ho-hos, and cokes. Loungers and crammers crowded the long tables. Bobster shepherded Coop through the intricacies of an algebra assignment. Rob sat behind two packages of powdered donuts. He flipped one package on its end, flipped it again while he eyed the glass front doors, and chatted up the passers-by. Sighting his prey, he strode across the commons without a word. Simon Glass shifted from one foot to the other next to the barriers that closed off the corridors until the first bell. Rob said something to Glass, who looked back at us and shook his head. Rob grinned, spoke again, placed his hand on Simon's shoulder, and guided him through the maze of tables. Few disguised their stares. When they arrived at the table, Rob pulled out a chair across from Bob, Coop, and me and gave Simon a nudge. Glass thumped down, holding himself crunched together and shifting his eyes to see if anyone was watching. Rob straddled the chair backward and pushed a package of the donuts to Simon. Bob and Coop paused in their pursuit of algebra to watch. I browsed my lit text as if uninterested. Ronna Perry was two tables over. She wasn't looking, but she might start. Consider this a power breakfast, Rob said, popping the cellophane on his package of donuts. Simon reached for the donuts, then hesitated. What's the deal, Rob? You just woke up this morning and decided Simon Glass was your best buddy? Settle down, Simon, Rob said, surprised that Simon had any punch in him. Nobody's going to do anything to you. He smiled, warm and welcoming, and twirled a sugary donut on the end of his index finger. Like I said yesterday, you're smarter than they know. Simon swiped at his nose. Simon, you can't let them treat you like the class goat anymore. Your days of being a mook are numbered. Right, Rob. Rob leaned forward. His voice dropped to a smooth whisper. Don't ever doubt me, Glass. He slid the donuts closer to Glass. When Rob smiled, Simon was dazzled by the light. He was human after all. Now, do you want that? Glass looked at each of us in turn, then back at Rob. He put one finger on the package of donuts and eased in. His wheezy voice barely escaped his lips. Maybe I do. Rob slapped the table and stood. Let's go someplace private. Wait. Simon was still hunched, the donuts now in his hands. What's in this for you? Rob aimed his index finger at Simon. The sugary donut remained impaled. He cocked his thumb like a pistol hammer and pushed it down. It hit the donut, shearing through one side. Sugar exploded and the donut dropped onto the tabletop. The pieces rolled toward Simon. Satisfaction, Rob said. He blew on his finger as if he'd fired a gun. Chapter 5. Why was Rob popular? In a small public school, if you're okay to look at, have enough money to dress, and have minimum social skills, you're in the top 10%. Then, anyone who is the alpha wolf takes over. We'd been a little sick of Lance for a while and ready for a new alpha male. You'd think Bob would have taken over, but Bob was more a sheep in wolf's clothing. Rob came in and just took over the lead. And we follow because that's what the rest of the pack does. Rob's dark side? Sure, I knew he had one. Anyone with that many secrets. And young? Rob hooked him and reeled him in. I think Young was so blinded at being Rob's chosen that he couldn't see when it started to go so wrong. But Rob was the sun, and you have to want to travel a long way to find the dark side of the sun. Simon, though. He let Rob show him how to dress and behave, but he never lost himself in Rob. You know, I didn't either. There was a cold center in Rob, where his heart should have been. I feel like I should have explained that to Young, warned him. Blair Cruz. Rob laughed and drummed the table. Simon, I get off on a challenge. I get pissed when the herd pushes one of the weak out. I don't want them to say who stays and who gets shit on. I want to even up the score. Coop nodded. Yeah, we're going to stop people from bullying you. It ain't right when some loser... Coop stopped. He looked down at his papers. It ain't right. Bob rubbed his chin in mock thought. Besides, I need someone to comfort the babes I dump. All those suicide threats get old. I was silent. Rob drummed the table. That's it. He turned to us and nodded. Simon cut his eyes to Rob. There was no bumbling or confusion in his glance. Simon was calculating, sorting the debits from the credits. But something else. Something that said more. But I didn't know what kind of more it was. What didn't we know about this guy? Simon saw me watching him and poof, the mook was back. Let's go. Rob stood. Coop copied a final answer from Bobster's paper and shoveled it into his overstuffed notebook. Hey, give my homework back. Once it's in that mess, I'll never see it again, Bobster said. Coop handed Bobster the paper and shoved the bulging notebook under his arm. You ain't wrong. Half the zeros I get are for papers I did but lost. Correction. Papers you copied but lost, Rob said. He tugged one of the flapping sheets of notebook paper hanging haphazardly from Coop's binder. This vocabulary is from 3 weeks ago. Rob looked at Simon. Maybe glass can help you, Coop. Rob took off toward the back of the gym. Looking around, he pulled a key from his pocket and unlocked a door at the end of a small, dark corridor between the gyms and the swimming pool. The equipment room. Step into my office. He grinned as he ushered us in. I somehow found myself in possession of a master key. Nobody's here until athletics classes, sixth period. The equipment room was small and square with walls and floors of cement. Stacks of mats lined the wall opposite the door. Racks of balls, boxes of timers, standing racks of golf clubs and baseball bats were stashed semi-neatly. Great. Coop stretched out full length, resting his head against a rolled tumbling mat. Bob leaned against the stacked mats and I sat on top of them. Simon stood in the middle of the open space between the door and the mats. Glass shifted from foot to foot. We're not supposed to be in here. Rob settled against a stack of sand-filled canvas bases. Folding his arms across his chest, he said, Glass, you're changing from pond scum to popular. We'll all help you out. So, if you can do some small favors in return, well, that's what friends are for, right? I knew there was a catch. No catch, Glass. Don't do anything you don't want to do. Simon didn't answer. First off, there's not much we can do today, but... Rob tossed something from his jacket pocket. We can start with this. Simon fumbled the catch and dropped the dark object that flew at him. He leaned over and picked it up. A comb? Yeah. A comb, Bob said. You need a good haircut, but at least straighten it up for now, Rob said. Simon tugged the comb through his briar patch.
"Ditch the wingtips," Bob said.
"And zip your pants," Coop added. "The babes call you Peek-a-Pecker."
Glass clutched at his crotch and flushed. He jerked on the tab of his zipper.
"It won't stay up."
"It's because your pants are too tight, and you don't push the tab against the tracks to lock it," Bobster said.
Glass peered down at his pants.
We all traded rolling eyeglances.
"Glass, are you from Mars or what?" Coop asked, cradling the back of his neck in his hands.
"The gap could fix half your problems."
"Glass likes to have it his own way."
Rob cocked his head.
"Right, Simon? A little passive-aggressive rebellion?"
Glass could have been statuary for all the reaction he showed. Rob laughed.